Rosalind Morford is dying. She doesn't think it'll be this week or even next month, but she understands her cancer has spread, and chemotherapy and other treatments didn't stop it. She entered hospice in May.
I'm terminal. I mean, I have it in my lungs, I have it in my liver, and in all my bones.
Rosalind has decided to die at home. That means no more lengthy oncology visits or hospital rooms. Peace Health Sacred Heart Hospice nurses come to her here in a 2-bedroom mobile home parked behind her brother's house in Cottage Grove.
I don't feel death as a negative. I think it's a journey that we all make. I'm kind of excited about it, actually.
71-year-old Rosalind is a feisty woman. She used to be a nurse. She's quick with a laugh, and she loves her little dog, Susie, who has enough energy for the both of them. Today, hospice nurse Stacy Grigsby visits Rose. Grigsby has a gentle demeanor and a calm, reassuring voice. She says it's about providing comfort and dignity to a dying patient.
Because it is a very personal process.
As death approaches, hospice nurses recognize the signs and help the patient and their family prepare for the experience.
It's incredibly difficult work. It is very hard. We become very attached. But sometimes in life, the hard things are the most rewarding.
Yep.
And that's just how it is. It's incredibly fulfilling to know that I made a difference or to hope that I made a difference.
Sacred Heart has a volunteer-driven program called No One Dies Alone. It all started in 1988 when a night shift nurse named Sandra Clark was doing her rounds.
One of her patients was dying. He was conscious, he knew he was dying, and he was afraid.
That's Ann Gordon. She's the current director of the No One Dies Alone program.
He asked her to stay with him as he died, and she assured him that she would tend to her other patients, take care of them, and then be back as soon as she could. She was able to come back within 90 minutes, but he had died.
Alone. Nurse Clark was deeply affected by this, and although it took years, she created a program with the support of Sacred Heart to train staff and volunteers to sit vigil with the dying. Again, Ann Gordon.
There are 10 of us, and we take turns throughout the year carrying a pager for 24 hours at a time.
Vigil coordinators respond and quickly determine that the patient fits protocols, which are that the patient is within 48 hours of death, that there is a DNR, or do not resuscitate order, and most importantly,
that they have no one. They need to be someone who doesn't have anyone present to be with them as they're passing.
No One Dies Alone programs are now international. Nancy Garrett was the first person trained to sit vigil at the hospital. I wondered if volunteers are told anything about the patient.
That's the one thing that is so hard for me, is to not know really anything about this patient, who they are. Once in a great while, we do find out. We had one patient recently who was a big fan, and we found out, of Motley Crue. And so we actually started playing some Motley Crue music so he could hear that as he passed.
Harpist Gary Plouf has seen how music works to soothe the sick and dying in prescriptive ways. He's a music thanatologist with Strings of Compassion. He travels throughout Lane County with his harp and plays for hospice patients.
I feel very humbled to do this work and very privileged that I found it and able to help people at their time of the end of their life.
Seen a lot of ends of lives.
I have. Over the 20 years, I have seen. I've been there at many, many deaths. And that's also a very holy and sacred time for the family and for me too, supplying that music to make that atmosphere more peaceful.
Hospice patient Rosalind Morford is approaching the holidays pragmatically. She's finishing quilts, which will go to her children. She says she's been visited by her late husband, Don. Sometimes she sees him in shadows.
But one night, I kind of had a rough night. And I felt the side of the bed sink down, and I felt him slide in beside me, put his arm over me, and I could hold his hand. It was him. I cried because I didn't want him to leave. But he did, and he'll be back.
Rosalind has decided she will be cremated. She's taking care of everything in advance, the funeral home, the urn, to spare her brother having to do it. I asked her if she's afraid.
No. What would you be afraid of? You tell me, and I'll think about it, but no, I'm not afraid. I'm in God's hands, and I'll always be there for the kids. I may even haunt them. I've threatened.
Tiffany Eckert, KLCC News.